Our lesson today comes from the Old Testament. Believe that. From Haggai, verses 1 through 15, or verses chapter 1 through 15, chapter 1, 15 through chapter 2, verse 9. It begins, In the second year of Darius the king, on the 21st day of the seventh month, the Lord's word came through Haggai the prophet, "Say to Judah's governor, Zerubbabel, Shealtiel's son, and to the chief priest Joshua, so Jehoiada's son, and to the rest of the people, who among you is left? Who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it appear as nothing to you? So now be strong, Zerubbabel. Say the Lord, says the Lord. Be strong, high priest Joshua, so Jehoiada's son, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord. Work, for I am with you, says the Lord of heavenly forces. As with our agreement when you came out of Egypt, my spirit stands in your midst. Don't fear. This is what the Lord of heavenly forces says. In just a little while, I will make the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the dry land quake. I will make all the nations quake. The wealth of all the nations will come. I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of heavenly forces. The silver and the gold belong to me, says the Lord of heavenly forces. This house will be more glorious than its predecessor, says the Lord of heavenly forces. I will provide prosperity in this place, says the Lord of heavenly forces. Here ends the reading of the Old Testament. Let us pray. Gracious God, in your words today, let them be a guide for us as we move ahead, as we prepare for what you ask us to prepare for. Through the season of pre-Advent, we ask that you just give us guidance through God's work here on earth, through the words that we say and the words that we take to heart. May them be uplifting in the week to come. In your holy name we pray. Amen. After butchering that second name, it's okay. Just shows you that sometimes it does happen. Even you practice it numerous times, and it still comes out, you know. Have any of you checked your calendars lately? Have you been to any stores? Last week on the way home from church, I asked Stephanie this question. Now, don't get excited. I asked her, "Do you think there's Christmas music on the radio yet?" I heard a couple people in the church office this week talking about it. Yes, those words left my mouth. But this is the way we are now. And honestly, I think this is the way it's been for a very long time. The Halloween decorations come down and the Christmas decorations go up. Yet there is so much in between. Maybe I'm just excited this year. Maybe with all my writing, I have this small glimmer of hope. I don't know. Is my preparation premature? Remember, I'm planning this Advent and Christmas season long before it ever takes place. We even bought our grandson a stocking. There has been conversation upon conversation about what is coming up. The schedule is filling in. The traditions are coming out. And I think these are important. They are important to our faith. They are important to our journey in what is to come. And I think they are important to the greatness of kingdom work. Because that's what we're called to do as disciples, right? Bring forth God's kingdom. Making the right decisions, making sure that we are showing others what the Holy Spirit is doing in our church and in our lives. We decorate the same. We sing the same songs. We introduce ourselves to the same story each season. And that story is what gives us hope. It's what brings us peace. It brings us joy. And it's all because of love. Oh, Pastor, aren't you jumping the gun on this whole Advent season? We haven't even had our turkey, cranberries, and stuffing yet. Well, to answer that, I think as we prepare to prepare over the next month, I want us to take a moment out of our busy lives and think about the past. Think about the good, and think about the bad, and everything in between. Think about how those memories have shaped who you are. Think about the smells that bring back memories. Think about those traditions that have shaped who we are as followers of Christ. And think about this. Is the world preparing for the same things we are? So as you heard, this week I'm stepping out of my comfort zone in some Old Testament from Haggai. And who is Haggai? Well, he was a Hebrew prophet from the 6th century BCE. We really don't know much about him as a person, but we do know that he was on a mission. And that mission is one that we hear about today. And that was to rebuild a second temple in Jerusalem after the Israelites returned from the Babylonian exile. During this time, the people had become a bit apathetic. Instead of really focusing on praising God, they were working on their own things. The Hebrew people during this time had no motivation. As they looked around, all they saw was destruction. They were suffering from a drought, and they had an ongoing economic problem. Haggai argues that all these things were happening because their priorities were in the wrong place, and they were being disobedient to God. And maybe you're asking yourself, why is this even important? What does all this have to do with us? Well, here's the thing. Haggai, well, he was very successful in his mission. Over this four-month period, he got a lot done. Not only did he encourage the people, he also encouraged the governor Zerubbabel and the chief priest Joshua to actually resume and complete the construction of the temple. So really, what makes this all this important? Well, the answer to that question is this. He showed the people how important it was to put God's will first in their lives. He also showed that God was always with the people as they worked toward a better future. And lastly, he gave a promise that the latter glory of the new temple would be better than the old one that was built by Solomon. All this makes me think deeply about what is happening in this verse. Is it really about the new, or is it about remembering the old? Those traditions, are they a good thing? What I'm really asking about here is probably nostalgia. Is it really that good? Because for me, there are those things that I can truly love holding to my heart as close as I can. Then there are those other things. Well, let's just say that sometimes those 45-gallon black garbage bags, you know, those industrial strength garbage bags, I can't fit enough into them. I know that many of us can quickly toss away what has come before us. And I'm sure that there is a lot of value in looking at the past. It comforts us. We could sit and talk for hours about it all. But sometimes when we live into the past, something happens. We begin losing track of the present and even the future that could possibly hold. Honestly, it's through nostalgia, it becomes a bit more of an idol rather than a memory. But I want you all to understand that what I'm saying here isn't trying to downplay the importance of it all. What I'm saying is that if we actually take a healthy look at the past, it can help us all understand why we are here and the importance of what we have all done, helping us all to see what is to come. Now, since I have you all walking down memory lane, as you're thinking about all those things that have happened, those memories that have shaped you. Now let's think about Haggai in this moment. Did he look back and reminisce about that old temple? Did he think about the glory it once had? Did he have some form of nostalgia? As I said, we really don't know a lot about Haggai. And as I wonder about this man, did he have some memories about that temple? Did he invite others to also reminisce? And I really don't have the answers to those questions, but here's what I take from this. That Haggai, he is going to use the power of the past to help others envision what the present and future holds. So now, he says, be strong, is what we hear today. Be strong, High Priest Joshua. Be strong, all you people of the land. I often wonder how many times we hear, be strong, throughout our whole lives. When those memories come rushing back, when we remember those good times, even the bad, and you think about what is to come, you have to get your mind right. And Haggai today encourages the governor to do just that. Friends, I know that not every task in life is easy. I know there are going to be moments when tears are shed. It was no different for those people back then. They all had loss. They were all exiled. They suffered. But we have to remember, yes, be strong, just like Haggai tells us. But how do we be strong in those moments that try to knock us down and hold us back? We have to remember something, which is this, that we are never alone. For I am with you, says the Lord of heavenly forces. Friends, I understand that in those moments, hearing words like be strong or you can do it just seem to barely fit that emptiness that persists. But I do think that they are important words, especially when what is in front of you may be difficult. There's one thing I know about these typical situations, and that is this, that if something is hard, then struggles will happen. And today there is some quaking that is going to take place. Maybe it's like that line from the movie The Field of Dreams, if you build it, they will come. I say this because there is some fear behind the people coming. They seem to be worried about some of the simplest things. Maybe they're worried about how they are going to pay for it all. Who really knows? But they know this temple build isn't going to be easy. But in the mess of all this quaking, what do we hear? Be strong. Friends, plain and simple, in those moments when the ground is shaking around you, never forget this. God is always in control. If you are looking for something, God is there. If you have a new story, God is the author. And because of God being there, your future, my future, our future will be brighter than the past ever was. This house will be more glorious than its predecessor, says the Lord of heavenly forces. Just think about this. During Haggai's time, each building that was built brought expansion. The people saw God, God's plans. They saw a temple being built before them, and they felt the energy. They brought the enthusiasm. So, Pastor, this Haggai guy, you know, this so-called prophet, made it into the Bible because he got a few people to rebuild a temple? To me, it just seems that all he cared about was a few bricks and some mortar. Honestly, I think it goes a bit deeper. Let's look at the conversation between Haggai and the governor and even the workers. Here's what he says. Who among you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it appear as nothing to you? Where is all the glory in it all? I know that in life we sometimes lose the vision of what God has first done for us. Maybe we lost our way. Maybe we forgot our true purpose. Maybe sometimes we get too wrapped up in the material things instead of the scriptural. And I think that is happening in this verse today. But then we are reminded once again about God. And even Haggai reminds both the governor and the workers that God has never broken the promise about being there for them, telling us that even all the destruction and rubble, in every brick, every smear of mortar, that God is and will always be there. No matter what, God is present, both still and fully. Even when we stand right in the middle of that pile of rubble filled with our hopes and dreams, when those promises of our past are far behind us, when the task we have is greater than what we could ever endure. I know, Haggai knows, that God is always present. At the end of our verse today, we have Haggai pointing toward the future. He says that this house will be more glorious than the predecessor. I often wonder what house he is speaking of. Here he is standing on the job site, pointing, planning, looking at the one temple in need of repair and the plans for the one being built. Is he speaking about the temple, or is he speaking about God's house? Because when I think about God's house, it is not just a building. But is that building filled with God's people? Of course it is. The place we worship isn't just this grand community gesture. It's a place where we pray to God, where we come to worship Jesus, and we call upon the Holy Spirit to be with us always. It is just a vessel. I can't help but think about how church was done during the pandemic. There are many churches that had problems because they couldn't gather in person. And honestly, there are churches that never fully recovered from that time. But then there were the ones that saw some level of opportunity to be reminded that the church was not just some building, that the church was actually the people inside. I know, what an amazing thought, right? And maybe that was what Haggai was trying to get across, that even though he wanted this temple built, in the end, it was more about the people inside. Realizing that, once again, God is always with them. So yes, today we stand and sit and worship inside this beautiful building, this church that represents us as a people and the God we worship. And I am very, very pleased with what we have. It is inclusive and accepting to all people. We have activity after activity held within the walls of this church. But remember this, we all need those places that are filled with wonder and beauty, those places that will draw us deeper into a connection with God, a place where we can feel that God is here in both our lives and in our world. But as Haggai reminds us, that building only serves its purpose when the people inside are actually creating a space for God. Do you want me to repeat that? That building only serves a purpose when the people inside are actually creating a space for God. And we are. And we will. And we will continue to do just that. Friends, God's presence is here. God's glory is here. And God continues to shine in all of us. In a world that might not fully grasp but what we are preparing to prepare for, and as the ground shakes around us, let it be known that we are ready to listen, to be guided, and to confidently know that God is here. Amen.